Okay.
Okay, so Samachay, and we're investigating this relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which was called Bonim Atem, and it's what reflects the Shutfus. Not a shutfus of two strangers become partners, but the shutfus that you have between a father and an only son. That's what we're focusing on here. The nakuda we're focusing on, it's very hard to get this clear, is every time we do something we're supposed to do, let's call that the Rotzon Hashem, we're giving a Kadosh Baruch Hu opportunity to bestow good on us, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for. And when we don't do the Rotzon Hashem, then we're preventing Hashem from fulfilling the purpose of the creation, which is to bestow good on us. That's really where it's all flowing. It all revolves around that nekuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to bestow good. Sorry, I'm sitting a bit.
I didn't know.
No, you're in the wrong place. I wasn't. I gravitated towards you. That's what I did. No. The Torah takes Mokum Kavua very seriously. Strange as that may seem. Because I'll tell us that somebody fixes a Mokum Kavua for where he davened, Avram Avinu makes sure he doesn't get a Gehenna. It's not so simple. In Halacha, it may be, Yaakov Kamenetsky holds this, that it's better to daven in your Mokum Kavua and not say Kaddish in the year of Avelis than to go somewhere else and say Kaddish. So Mokum Kavua is not a light matter. You go back, now you're in your new Mokum Kavua. In that place where you're now davening, not everybody holds you have to go back. That's really minhagim. But now you have to say Kaddish. But you're in a place where they only allowed one person to say Kaddish, and someone else has a higher priority than yours. So you go somewhere else to say Kaddish. Yaakov Kamenetsky holds it's better to stay where you are and not say Kaddish than go somewhere else and say Kaddish. We learned that together, remember? You have to ask your own rabbi what you should do in those situations. I'm not pasking a lid, not a locha. But I'm just showing you the balance of what's called Mokum Kavua. I don't know whether it applies to a Shia or not. Or I don't know. I'm just saying Mokum Kavua is not a, Marbaka. Plenty places. Yeah, plenty places. Yeah, no, no. We are Davin and we're always Davin. There's always one person says Kaddish at a time. There's only more than one Kaddish. Okay. You have to come to the 1 o'clock share. Let's not mix up subjects. I'm just pointing out, Mokum Kavua is not a small thing. And once again, I never applause here. I just like having Baruch next to me because it's easier to hit him when I need to. Avram Avinu didn't say that. Chazal said that. Avram Avinu is a wad after Avram Avinu. He wanted you going to get him. Why Dafka Avram Avinu? Why Dafka Avram Avinu? What's he got to do with Mokum Kavua? And in a Mokum Kavua. As opposed to Bilam. As opposed to Bilam. That's not it. I'm just telling you one idea. Never that is it. You've been around me long enough to know there's never that it. But that's it. Bilam, when he was trying to curse Klal Yisrael, he went, didn't work. So I said, well, wait a second, let's try there. Let's try, Avraham Avinu, whenever the Avos is davened, they went back to the same place. Yaakov Avinu says, I forgot to daven where my father's davened. They went back to daven in that place because they understood that it's not about the place and about the shul and the rov and the gabbai and the shtender and the guy next to you. If you're having problems with davening, it's a problem with you. So stay where you are and carry on davening. No, I can't daven here because I don't like the air conditioner. I don't like the gabbai and the little rob drives me mad. The gabbai behind me schnochels. You got 55, that's Bilam. He's blaming something else for why it's not working. Avraham Avinu says, it was the problem. I have to deal with my problems. So he states put in his ovens. That's one of the ideas of Mokhi Kibur, and that wouldn't apply here. Okay, fine. Just, yeah. By the way, while we're on the subject, by the way, if you come to shul and someone's in your Mokhi Kibur and you get terrified now because what's going to be, so you should go daven somewhere else quietly. Try and daven as close as you can to there. And have in mind that if you needed to go into Golis, that you're mekayming the din Golis now, but not daven in your Mokum Kavua. When you go up to him and say, excuse me, you're in my seat, the Shem says, oi, what are you doing? I was just going to take you out of Golis, and now you messed it up. Get him daven there, and you got daven. If you're in Dalet Amos, it's also considered Mokum Kavua. If you can't get within Dalet Amos, go daven somewhere else. And have in mind that you were climbing the din golos that you would have to have gone through. There's a big schus in not messing up and embarrassing and chipping somewhere else. Really. Okay. At the end of the day, it means be normal. That's all. Use your seichel and be normal. Okay. But let's go back to our subject. We don't have samach hay. But matara laham chishes advarim alalu shinim adini ma'od. He's going to tell us now a story that I heard many times from him. In this version, whenever I heard it from him, other people come in, they heard a different sort of version. The lesson's a lesson. It's a subtle lesson. But it's the fulcrum of everything we're learning right now. But I have to remember the story. And we're bringing the story in order to try and make this switch. It's a paradigm shift. It's a major paradigm shift that you have to make. If you don't make this paradigm shift, then you're going to miss the whole story. This is where it's all coming. This is where it all comes down to. Bizmano ishtetafti be'echad ha-seminarim shenarchi le-balei tshuva. We do a lot of seminars for balei tshuva. You know, you get them together, you got a hotel somewhere for a week and you battle it out. Today you can do it for maybe 3 hours, maybe go away for Shabbos. They did seminars, he was very involved in Kiruv. But Leil Shabbos, La'acha Mispartzot, Leil Shabbos, after a few sherim were given and whatever, Himshachti L'dabeim Tzir, in Tzir, Shebetzuroi So Haiselo Shaiches Le'adud. He was talking to a young man who in his youth was obviously frum. And now he wasn't. Ula Matash Ozef Zakol, he left Yiddishkeit. But he's at the seminar for Balei Tshuva. But nice of a car, Hayelot Tzarot Rabot Bechayev, where Gi'ad had Yoita Tachtoina Mamash. He had a lot of trouble in his life, a lot of suffering, and he Mamash got to what we call rock bottom. He wasn't in a good space. Yeshavnu v'sechachno l'imune, mitzvahs, we're talking about imune, mitzvahs, and Yiddishkeit, you know, those late Friday nights at the film seminar, you get schmoozing, a lot of Siyata Dishmaya, it's powerful. The Peter Beenza Sichasenu, from a Vakeshis Lichosu, who writes in a Tzeta Chutzel a Kamaragoyim. In the middle of conversation, he says, excuse me, but I need to just excuse myself. I need to go out for a few minutes. Now, why? Rabbi Zriel thought that was strange. When we just went to the bathroom, I never had a chance to ask him, why did you think something weird was going on? But he told him, excuse me, I'm going to just go out for a few minutes. You assume he's going to the bathroom, right? So why he didn't think that and why he thought something else, I don't know. Asked him, excuse me, where are you going so late at night? What do you mean, he's going to the bathroom? So I don't understand the question. Maybe he's going outside to the bathroom. I don't know. Okay, it was obvious from the situation he wasn't going to the bathroom. So the bathroom is that right? He was going back. Now listen to the answer. He doesn't have the chutzpah to smoke in front of me on Leil Shabbos. He has to have a cigarette. He needs to go outside and have a cigarette and then he will come back. And that was good midrash. I'm going to smoke in front of the rabbi on Shabbos. But at the same time, he's chayav to have a cigarette. I don't know where that chiyuv is. There's a chiyuv to have a cigarette. But he's chayav to have a cigarette. Okay. I'll just put it on pause here on parenthesis. happened to be coming back from a, I don't know, we did a teal, whatever, in those days. We'd take Bochum to the Dead Sea. Coming back from Mala Adumim, going up the hill, there's always traffic. And there was a, someone put an Amnon Yitzchok. Anybody heard of Amnon Yitzchok? He's not so popular anymore. He used to be a big Val Kiruv, the massive Kiruv in the Taimini guy, the Swadi world. Then he went to, but I don't know, something, I don't know what happened. Anyway, I wasn't a big follower. But anyway, somebody put in his tape, the driver, goodness, Amnon Yitzchok. And he's talking in a group of people. He actually had these big seminars and he's having a question answer session. So the guy says to him, I want to keep Shabbos from money. I say, I have to smoke. I cannot smoke. So Ramon says to him, so what's the problem? What's the problem? He said, what do you mean? Zasul Hashem. It's also to smoke on Shabbos. And he says, it's also to smoke on Shabbos. I never said that. I said, it's also to smoke on Shabbos. Where did you come to such an idea from that it's also to smoke on Shabbos? I said, what are you talking about? Everyone knows it's also to smoke on Shabbos. I don't think it's also to smoke on Shabbos. Everyone, like, just dead silence. Everyone in the cars, like, the taxi driver, the Hassan driver's like, what's happening now, you know? That's cool, we can actually smoke on Shabbos. I mean, it's success. So I said, what do you mean, Rabbi? I don't know if it's awesome to smoke on Shabbos. He says, no, it's not awesome to smoke on Shabbos. It's mutter not to smoke on Shabbos. What do you mean? You told me you have to smoke on Shabbos. You have to smoke on Shabbos. I'm telling you, it's mutter not to smoke on Shabbos. A different cook.
Sure.
You think you have to smoke on Shabbos? I'm thinking it's mutter not to smoke on Shabbos.
How do you guys do it?
Do what? You know people, oh, how do you know? Okay, I'll tell you about that another time. I'll tell you that another time. I was a heavy smoker and Shabbos was a real misfit in the beginning. Not so posh. For some people, it's cheeseburgers. For other people, it's whatever. There's the shameless. For some people, it's golf. How can you not play golf on Shabbos? Yarval Yavo. Everybody makes the shameless. It's not supposed to. People gave up their work, their jobs, their professions, then they become Balei Tshuva. Yeah, everyone is in the shameless, not posh.
You don't want to smoke in front of the rug.
In a college ball, who's not worried? No, okay. That we all like that.
Yeah, exactly.
No. We all like that. Okay, so let's, okay, now push the thing on the pause button. Let's get back to our story. So this guy said, I have to smoke. I can't smoke in front of you. So go outside and smoke in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's less of a problem for God. Now we said we all like that. Okay. Fine. That's also Gemara, by the way. Okay, Beseder. I don't know what to do. Mamush was very, very, what to do here? So on one hand, what do you mean you're going to smoke on Shabbos? It's also, you're going to get punished for that. I'll lose him completely. He knows it's also the smoke on Shabbos, and he knows there's a punishment. It doesn't help, he's going to smoke. He knows. Telling him not to smoke, the law is there. On the contrary, it's going to hurt. The most chinuch today, when you tell the kid not to do it, you just made it worse. When you tell your son to go learn Torah, you just stopped him learning Torah. That's all. That's partial. So that you're not allowed to do. Mitzad sheni, echuchal ishtok, velizloich achilu l'shabbos, v'atzah shkine, ha'otzim shemeitzik, v'di ma'ashin b'shabbos. And he was real with this, Rabbi Zvil. How can I keep quiet? The tzah shkine, the Chil Shabbos, I'm going to just sit back and watch Chil Shabbos, not say anything. Money, I say. So you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu for help. But Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ere Seinai, Paniti La Baruch Hu, V'shalti Oisei. Again, in Yiddish, what's called an Einfall. You can put something into your head. So he turned to this Baruch and he said, and this is a dialogue well worth remembering. Naniach L'rega Kiviyachol Sheh Kodesh Baruch Hu Megale Lech Hu Mevakesh Nimcho. Imagine for a moment that Hashem reveals himself to you and he asks you the following request. Tenli bevakasha segaria. Please, may I have a cigarette? If it happened to you, if you're a smoker, you know, people come up to you and say, please, can I have a cigarette? Someone came up to me the other day and said, do you smoke? I don't know what he wanted. You want a cigarette, say, please, can I have a cigarette? Don't ask me if I smoke. Maybe I have cigarettes, but I don't smoke. I said, no, Baruch Hashem, I don't smoke. Lama Baruch Hashem? I said, because it kills you. So I used to smoke for 50 years, I smoked. No, I don't. So Baruch Hashem, I don't smoke. Why are you asking? He says, no, because he wants a cigarette and he doesn't have one. If I'd had a cigarette, I would have given it to him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you for a cigarette. Would you give it to him? He said, yes, of course. Why not? Amshachti lishom. Afinu ma itizeh asagari achreina shokho. Even if it was your last cigarette and the stores are closed because it's Shabbos. So he said, ken? Ima iti yodaya shu tzarich et zeh? Hayiti notan lo v'hayiti mitchabed otav. If ani Hashem needed the cigarette, of course we're in a marshal, yeah, so I mean, Hashem needs cigarettes. No, but if Hashem needed the cigarette, it would be my honor to give him my last cigarette. Paniti shuva amati lo. So I turned around to begin and I said to him again, Dalacha, Yunus, no. Ki bekach shelo tashen achshav. That which you're not going to smoke now, if you would choose not to smoke now, atanoiten lo har v'yoysim a cigari achas. You're giving Hashem much more than one cigarette. Ima ta maskim letet lo etze? Are you prepared to give Hashem that? You're prepared to give him a cigarette, your last cigarette, if he needs it. If you don't have the cigarette now, you're giving Hashem much more than a cigarette. You're prepared to give him that? Lo heishiv lo, im ze nachon, obviously, what you're saying is correct. Vata retzini, are you serious? Ani mukhan. For sure. Amati lo, ki ani mukhan lahashbo al ze, sheze nachon. I'm prepared to make a shvur that what I'm saying is correct. And Jews don't make shvur so light. That was the first Shabbos he kept. Whenever he's about to take out the cigarette and smoke it, he doesn't smoke it. It's like he's giving Hashem the cigarette. Oysa b'chui is'ale b'meshach ha'shinim b'ruch Hashem k'yom hu atzmai machzi yudim b'tshuva. This Jew is a well-known person. He never told me who it was. But himself is a big, well, this was 30 years ago this book was written, but he's a big, one of the big Balei Kiruv in the world today, this guy. And it all started with giving Hashem one cigarette. So what happened here? Well, let's try to understand. It's an our story, and it's very mitragesh, but what happened here? What is the Nakuda here? Hey, you give Hashem a cigarette. That's cool. It's sweet. So a guy was about to smoke on Shabbos, and you used a trick not to get him to smoke on Shabbos, and then the schus, the mitzvah, he started becoming a bal tshuva, and then he became a rov, and lovely. Lovely. What's the story? What's the nekudia that we need to take away from this? Because this is everything we're learning at the moment. Gam ba'olameinu shelanu. Lu ayinu chayim b'toich imuna pshuta v'tmima b'divrei chazal. If we would live with imuna pshutoi utmima b'divrei chazal, I want to explain that what it means before we go forward. A very important to understand when we say imuna pshutoi utmima, what we're talking about, because we don't have a clear definition of what that is. Correct? Anybody here know how to type? Hunt and peck method you use, like me. You hunt for the letter and you hit them. You hunt it. That's an art type. There are those people that while they listen to someone talking, and that's a word person, whatever. Are they thinking about what they're doing? It's what's called an umanus. An uman is a professional. The word for professional is uman. He's a professional. He's not thinking about what he's doing. When you first start learning how to drive, yeah, you're gripping the steering wheel and you're... The guy in the back of the car says three words, shush, keep going. Now when you drive, you can SMS, you can light a cigarette, you can be speaking on the phone, you can be schmoozing to the guy behind you at 400 kilometers an hour while you're drinking a beer, and you're not even thinking about what you're doing. Why? Because it's an umanus. It's something you do without das. It's something you do without das, and you can get more and more and more of an uman in that area. You can get closer and closer to the emes. Emes the imuna. There's a thing called emes and there's imuna. Imuna comes before emes. Emes is the ultimate achievement in this umanus. You become completely perfected in this umanus, which you can never achieve if it's a real truth. You can always get better and better. Isaac Stern used to practice 8 hours a day. The Chofetz Chaim used to go into the forest and work on increasing his imuna, the Chofetz Chaim. Because when it's an umanus, when it's an MS, you can always get better at it. Yeah. But the definition is you're doing it as a natural part of who you are. You don't have to think about what you're doing. That's imuna pshuta. That means your imuna in a kolish baruch hu, or in divrei chazal, it's a part of you. It's natural. When the bank manager phones you up, you don't have a panic attack. Because you know, the kolish baruch hu runs the world, and you cast your burden upon Hashem, and he will help you. And all you do is you do what you have to do, and you don't go into panic. You maintain your equilibrium because to the degree that you're holding there, you're an woman and you're getting closer to the truth, and that's imuna pshuto. It's not something you have to think about. We at our level of imuna, if something bad, God forbid, happens, we have a panic attack, and afterwards we go, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, thank God it's all for the good, it's a little toiva. That's a high level, that's not something to be sneezed at. Maxman once told he was driving in a car with somebody and had an accident. There was a woman sitting in the back. As they had the accident, the woman said, thank you, Hashem. That's an woman. It's part of her. She didn't stop to think, oh, you had an accident and Baruch Hashem, I came out safe. There wasn't time for that. That's imuna pshuta. It's become one with me. It's an woman. It's like you type without thinking. You just duck, 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 duck. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say here? There is much, much more to this. About that's imuna pshuta. It comes from the word uman. Uman is a master, that's imuna. And it also comes from the word aim, imma. The baby that's nursing from the mother, that's imuna pshuto. The baby is not sitting there analyzing and discussing and, oh, Baruch Hashem, my mother's got milk, so tomorrow I don't have to work milk or whatever. The child feeds and he's happy and he's safe no matter where he was. There was babies being fed on the trains to Auschwitz. And the babies were fine, they were chill. In the middle of that chuban and that destruction, in the middle of that Gehenna, she was feeding from her mother and she was fine. That's imuna pshuta. It's an umanus. Okay, that's another shia. I just want to make sure you know what we're talking about. But when a person's living to whatever level he's on, and we are describing an ideal very often, remember that. It would be much easier for us to withstand the nishainas and the seductions of the Yetzirah. If we would believe with Imuna Shleima, when are we going to get to Imuna Shleima? Never. Because there's always another step. No matter how high you'll get in the world of Imuna Shleima, even Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you need Imuna for? He spoke to Hashem, Ponim or Ponim. Do you need Imuna that this table's here? No, because it's here. I believe that it's real. When you sat out of the chair, why did you get nervous you're going to hit the floor? Because there's a chair here. Moshe Rabbeinu also had to work on imuna, but he was punning with Hashem. Because there's always more. So there's always more. But on our level, if we would have the imuna that we are giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a kiematayr ba mitzvah shelani. And he can't get this anywhere else except from me. We'll deal with that if he calls us now. One second. Nimtzi in Kay comes out, therefore. He needs us. We would look very different in Akim HaTorah and Mitzvahs if we would understand this Yisod. If I don't smoke this cigarette now on Shabbos, what am I giving a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Im tzedakta ma yiten lo. That's chazal, no? If you're a big tzaddik, what are you giving Hashem? Hashem lo tzaddik otka, lo tzaddik klum imchas. You're a big tzaddik, what are you giving Hashem? Hashem doesn't need your tzaddik. He gave you an opportunity for your good to be a tzaddik. So what does Hashem need your tzaddik for? Again, two structures here. Hashem's taking is a giving. That's number one. When you give Hashem your mitzvah, why are you giving him your mitzvah? So that he can give you the reward. Why does Hashem want your mitzvah? Does Hashem want you to do the mitzvahs or not? No, Hashem doesn't want anything because he's no, of course he wants you to do the mitzvahs because he wants to give you the reward. Whatever want means in Hashem's world. But in this world, we're allowed to talk like that. Hashem wants to give you the reward. So he's standing there begging you, please do the mitzvah. We're not, that's exactly the nakud. That's exactly the paradigm shift we want to make. We're not doing the mitzvahs because we want the reward. We're doing the mitzvahs because we want Hashem to do what he wants to do, which is give reward. When Rav Moshe Feinstein took the sweater, you were here for that story? Rav Moshe Feinstein never took anything from anybody because Sonia Batanasiche and this old lady came from the old age home and she gave him a sweater. And he took it graciously, and the family said, what are you doing? He said, I never took anything. I gave her the joy, the pleasure, the nachas, the covet. She can go brag to her friends that she gave me a sweater. When we're talking here about doing the mitzvah, because you want to give the mitzvah to Hashem, said he gave me the reward. I'm not doing it for the reward. I'm not doing it because I want the reward. I'm doing the mitzvah because I want Hashem to fulfill his purpose of the creation. It just happens that his greatest desire is to give to me. So if I said, I'll let him give to me, but not because I want the reward, but I want him to have what he wants. That's a hard, subtle place to go, but it's the fulcrum of everything we're talking about. And we'll see more examples and we'll discuss it. We'll come from here to there to, because it's breaking ears. Right in the beginning, we said, in order to get a grip of what we're talking about here, because it's very subtle and sensitive and fragile, we're gonna work around it. But you're right. We're not giving Hashem anything because Hashem doesn't need anything. That we've dealt with already. Hashem created a world in which kiviyachol, he makes his ability to fulfill the purpose of creation dependent on us. And we understood how that works. Because what does he want? He wants to give to us pleasure. But you have to earn it. So you choose not to earn it. Then he can't give you the pleasure. Why did he create the world? Because he wants to give you pleasure. You just stopped him fulfilling the purpose of creation. How does that work? Because that's how Hashem created the world. In that tzimtzum, Hashem can do what he wants. In his essence of who he really is, this doesn't work. But we don't live in his essence. We live post-Maaseh Bereishis, not pre-Maaseh Bereishis. In the world that Hashem created, he created it like this. Could Hashem have created this world bigger than he did? Yes, so why didn't he? Because he wanted it so big. Could there be more grains of sand on the beach that Hashem wanted? Yes, how come there only so many? And by the way, he couldn't have created less. Because if he could have, he would have. Every grain of sand has to be there. Every leaf on every tree has to be there. Ah, but I could have made this world with one grain of sand less. You could have, but Hashem could have. Not that he couldn't intrinsically kulo your whole, but that wouldn't have been the world that he wanted to create. Everything in the world that he wanted to create is perfect. It has to all be there. Otherwise, he would have got away with less grains of sand, less flies, less mosquitoes, less viruses. How many viruses are in the world today? Billions and billions and billions and like whatever. So why? He couldn't have got away with one less virus? That's what he's Chochma Aliyana decided in order for the world to be Shalom, in order for his Achdus to be Megali in the world. That's what you need. That means he can do whatever he wants. So he can also make himself dependent on us. Not for him. For us. You see, it's all for us. Because he wants to get, he wants us to have the ultimate good. He could have just given us the good without you earning it. But that's not the ultimate good. Because you have to be like him. And he can't take anything. So he wants you to be somebody that also can't take anything. So you have to earn it. You get it because you earned it, not because you get it for free. How am I going to get you to earn it? You have to have bechira, because if you were forced to earn it, that's also not earning it. See, mamash have to genuinely have bechira, which means you can choose to do it or not. And if you choose not to do it, Hashem's not going to give it to you. So you've just stopped him, kiviyachol, from doing what he wants to do. What? That's another subject. Okay, we asked, why does Hashem have to create the world with bread of shame in it? Create the world without bread of shame and give it to me for nothing. We asked that question, yeah, because in order to become one with him, you have to be like him. Okay, that, because he can't take anything either. So you have to be so you can't to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have to be a giver that's never taken. And if you would earn the reward as an act of taking, not as an act of having earned it, so then it would be, you wouldn't be like a sheikh. Okay. There's much more to that. That's a shiur on it. That answers your question about, we're not doing the mitzvahs because we want the reward. I am. because I'm real. This is an ideal. The Mishnah that said, don't serve Hashem, al manas lekabel pras, is an ideal. I'm far from that ideal. What gets me out of bed in the morning is the payday. So you're also doing it for your feeling good. The immediate reward. Yeah. We use whatever we can to get out of bed in the morning. We're working towards doing it because we love Hashem and we just want to do everything that Hashem wants, even though we don't feel good about it, and even though we're never going to get reward for it. Machinami, that's an ideal that I'm working towards. But in my real world, I use whatever Loli Shmo I can find. La'ilam Adam. I amal Adam shelolishmo, shemitayt shelolishmo, bolishmo. The Rambam's telling you, the Gemara is telling you, you have to be isek lolishmo, and then you'll come to the lishmo forever, because you're never just going to come to the lishmo. We're human.